Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are talking about the new movie on Netflix starring basically everybody in Hollywood, and that is Don't Look Up, directed by Adam McKay, who did The Big Short and Vice. So this is going to be an interesting conversation because I kind of enjoyed the movie. Katie didn't really enjoy the movie that much. So we'll probably differ a little bit on our opinions. So
yes.
So stay tuned for that. But first, we have a lot of news items to get through. A lot of celebrity deaths. Of course, we talked about Betty White on our last episode, but passing away yesterday, we're recording this on Monday the 10th. Last night, we found out that Bob Saget had passed away at the age of 65. He died at a hotel room in Orlando, Florida. The cause of death is unknown at this time, but they don't suspect foul play or drug usage. At least that's what they're saying initially. But he was on tour. He's obviously a stand-up comedian, so he was doing some shows, and this was just, I think, the next stop on his tour, and unfortunately passed away on Saturday evening, and then we found out, Saturday evening, early Sunday morning, and we found out about it a little bit later on Sunday. But pretty funny. I remember watching him on Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, and obviously he's got two different sides to his comedy. He's got the clean kind of like Danny Tanner, if you know, America's Funniest Home Video side, and then he has a stand-up side where he's very, very, very raunchy. So you know, it's kind of on both sides of the spectrum there, but I think a lot of people did enjoy his comedy, and just kind of we didn't know that he was dealing with any health issues, and 65 is not young but not super old, so it was kind of surprising to hear of his passing.
I mean, I think it is young now. Like, I really do, for the life expectancy people have. So I was pretty shocked. I did upset at least one colleague today because I wasn't deeply distraught over this death. I am sad for his family. I'm not heartless. I am not obsessed with Full House. I watched it a lot as a kid, but it wasn't a show that, like, I can't even name an episode I remember, to be frank. So I'm very sad for his family. But yeah. I can't say it really destroyed my life, but sending good thoughts to his family. And then, Jared, I know you already know about this, but there were other celeb deaths this week that were very sad. First being Peter Bogdanovich. He died at 82. I think a lot of people, you would recognize his name or his face if you saw him, but he was an Oscar-nominated writer and director of The Last Picture Show, which was a big deal, won an Oscar. People loved it. And it had Sybil Shepherd in it, and he had a relationship with Sybil Shepherd for a long time. He also directed Paper Moon, very famous movie as well. But he had a very dramatic life, and I was kind of excited to talk about this because I had just listened to a podcast episode about this on Morbid, which is my okay. favorite podcast. And this wasn't his fault, but this was something that unfortunately he carried with him the rest of his life. But this is a quote that I found on thehollywoodreporter.com. He found himself entangled in tabloid headlines in 1980 when Playboy Playmate of the Year Dorothy Stratton, with whom he'd begun an affair while directing her in the romantic comedy They All Laughed, was murdered by her husband Paul Snyder, who then killed himself. That is obviously a true story. The whole situation was tragic. It's very triggering, too, if you listen to that episode. But it was, and actually, I could be wrong. It could have been My Favorite Murder, but I'm pretty darn certain it was Morbid. But very, very sad. He did have multiple affairs. Like, he kind of, I would say, maybe didn't use the most discretion when picking romantic partners. But he seemed to have a good life, was well-respected in the industry, and he passed away this week. Lastly, Sidney Poitier. He died at the age of 94, one of my absolute favorite actors and people. In 1964, though, he was the first Black man to ever win an Oscar. He won a Best Actor Oscar for Lilies of the Field. He broke down many racial barriers. He was known for that. President Obama recognized him for that. He got a humanitarian, or the presidential award. He was a known humanitarian as well. And then some of his best-known movies, if you're wondering what you would have seen him in besides Lilies of the Field, would be Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, To Sir with Love, and In the Heat of the Night. So he will be missed. Wonderful, wonderful guy. And if you haven't seen those movies, please take the time to do so.
Yeah, he was really a, kind of like you said, he was really a trailblazer in the industry for people of color in getting more film roles. So
definitely. I mean, good long life. I am surprised. Yeah. I was sad. I forgot that he was still around because I've talked about 90-year-olds that I love, and he should have been definitely included in that category. But I forgot that he was still around. So I was sorry to hear of his passing.
Also, if you're wondering, the Golden Globes happened. We're not going to talk about them because none of the celebrities cared about the Golden Globes this year. They weren't on television. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is a pretty bad organization, to be honest. They've done a lot of not great things. And so none of the celebrities showed up. They awarded the awards, but they just announced them on social media. And there was like, I mean, there was no fanfare. No big websites today had really anything on the Golden Globes. I forgot they were even happening until last night. So, yeah. So, and then if you want more information on like why the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is not great, you, Katie, you were listening to The Daily by the New York Times, which we've recommended before on this show, but their whole episode today was kind of on the HFPA and why they are kind of just a crappy organization.
Yes. So the episode was fantastic. And that was from today, the 10th, January 10th. So if you are interested in hearing about that, it was like a 30-minute episode. It was excellent. But yeah, we are not going to acknowledge the awards. Couldn't even tell you who won a single thing. I did, Jared, I forgot to include this. I wanted, did you hear about anything about Audrey Hepburn and Gene Kelly movies this week?
I heard about the Gene Kelly movie with Chris Evans, I believe.
Yes. It's like my favorite man playing my favorite man.
And the Audrey Hepburn movie I did not hear about. So
apparently they're going to make a biopic about Audrey. And they have already said Rooney Mara is going to star. And then people have been getting upset because Lily Collins looks so much like her. I personally am upset because I feel like I wasn't cast because they didn't realize my love for her is more than anyone else who's ever lived. And so I should probably be playing her. And I am scared to death of contacts. But if I had to wear contacts so I had brown eyes so I could play Audrey Hepburn, I would do it.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't call you for that. So
I don't know either.
Based on your theater background and everything. Yeah.
I'm going to have words with some. I mean, also, she was quite a bit taller than me, but we could make it work. But
editing,
I am,
we can enhance that. Yeah.
So many things. But I did think that was really interesting. That was big news this week. The Chris Evans thing, though, it sounds like it would be about a little boy who like befriends Gene Kelly on a movie set or something.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know that it would necessarily be about Gene Kelly's life, but either way, a kid, one of my favorite people.
Big like Mank vibes going on with the
big,
Chris Evans.
Except maybe a
movie.
Good movie.
Yeah. Not like awful. So.
No offense. And then I did, sorry, we have so much news today, but I did want to do two shout outs, Jared. We have gotten a lot of like really, I've gotten at least myself heard some very sweet feedback lately and had more engagement with people. And so I wanted to give shout outs to Krista. Krista, I will not like give any other information. I just know her and my brother and I know her really well. And she listens to our podcast. So we really appreciate that. And then also Melissa, my cousin, she had asked us about the podcast, but she is also a loyal listener and it just made me very grateful. So I wanted to do shout outs for them. So anyone that reaches out to us, you can pretty much guarantee you'll get a shout out.
Yeah, thanks for listening. So Melissa was the one that was having an issue accessing the podcast, so that was actually really helpful because into it and you know we got it figured out. So if you're ever like, I can't find the podcast where I normally listen to it, then be sure to leave us a comment on Facebook or Instagram or something, and we'll research it and check it out and make sure it's where it needs to be. So no corrections today for this episode. We do have some recommendations, though, which we want to share with you. I'm reading a book right now. I'm not all the way through it yet, but it was a Goodreads. I don't think it won Best Nonfiction Book, but it was maybe nominated. I can't remember. But it is by Patrick Radin Keefe, and it's called Empire of Pain. It's about the Sackler family who founded Purdue Pharma.
Oh, I know them.
Like helped develop kind of Valium and Oxycontin and the whole, they're like responsible for a lot of the opioid epidemic, honestly. So the book is really interesting so far. I'm about 100 pages in. It's a long book. It's like 500 pages long, but it's the way he's written it makes it really digestible and easy to understand if you're somebody that's not involved in pharmaceuticals to kind of understand how those things happen. And it goes biologically, so like we're still in the part right now with the father of the family, which was Arthur Sackler, and then like his sons take it over after he passes away. We haven't gotten to that yet, but he does a really good job of like not throwing too much information at you at once and making it somewhat easy to understand. And it's really like written in a pretty easy to read way too, so it's really interesting so far though.
That's awesome. I had not heard of that, but I definitely think that would be an upsetting book for me. But I am trying to challenge myself to read more nonfiction. But what an excellent recommendation.
I really like reading nonfiction, not all the time, but it's interesting to me because you can learn about so much stuff that I had no idea about. And obviously I know about Purdue Pharma and like how they're not very good, but it's interesting to get the inside story on like why everything happened the way that it did. So
yes, yes. And a very important issue. I really want to watch Dope Sick that's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. I plan to do that soon, and that's about the same situation. So I have a couple recommendations. I watched The Chair on Netflix, Jared. I actually watched two things on Netflix this week, flew through them. The Chair is the show that was nominated for a bunch of Critics' Choice Awards. It has Sandra Oh. It was co-written by Amanda Peet. It's produced by her husband, David Benioff, and then D.B. Weiss, who did Game of Thrones. Anyway, the show is incredibly well done. Holland Taylor's in it. The cast is fantastic. So it's only six or eight episodes. Flew through them. Couldn't recommend it more. Probably one of my favorite shows I've watched this year. Then I also watched Ginny and Georgia, which I don't know what their demographic is. I don't know if they're going for like young moms or if they're going for like 16-year-olds. It could be both. It's definitely a show probably geared more towards women. But I watched it in less than 48 hours. I watched it this entire weekend. It was also an easy watch. It was good to watch if you're just like laying around the house or cleaning or something. But it was adorable, and there was an element of murder in it, Jared. I didn't even know that. It was like just an exciting, I have to stop saying murder is exciting. Murder is not exciting. The element of mystery around it is exciting. So that happened. And then I have two books I just have to recommend. One is Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI by David Grann. And that's Grann, G-R-A-N-N. So this is all just bizarre that this is happening. I just heard a podcast where they were talking about Osage people, which is an indigenous people tribe in Osage County or around that. Yeah, Osage County. Then our local, like one of the local places that does theater where I did Great Gatsby, they're about to put on August Osage County, which is just another weird coincidence. And then I picked this book for book club at our work and it got selected. So I just read it and it's talking about the Osage people as well. So three things unrelated have all come up about the Osage people. I'm just saying that's weird. Anyway, this book is nonfiction, Jared, and it was excellent. It is about, I don't know if I'm saying the right terms, so I sincerely apologize. I don't know if we call them Native American reservations anymore, Indigenous people reservations, not reservations. I don't know what we call them, but just for the purpose of getting this information across, it is about an Indian reservation and the Osage people lived there. And then in the early 1900s, like 1930s, a bunch of people were murdered. A bunch. And it started in this one family, and people just kept getting killed literally left and right. It was like every day somebody else wound up dead. Then the FBI got called in and J. Edgar Hoover had just taken over. Horrible man. Piece of garbage. But he had started in the FBI. And so he sent the FBI out there and they were just starting to kind of get their ducks in a row with how they were going to investigate, and fingerprinting was starting. It was very exciting. Anyway, the book is fantastic. And it had a slow start. I will say it took me about like 75 pages to get really interested. Then I couldn't put it down. I stayed up till 2 a.m. on a work night, like a school night, finishing it. So it was fantastic. And then lastly, The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna. I bet every single person I know has read this before me. That's what I saw in Goodreads last year. It won the Book of the Month, Book of the Year award for 2021. It's a little over 450 pages. This is the other book this week. I read like 50 pages the first day, and then I could not put it down. So I'm finishing it tonight. So it's been less than 4 days to finish this book. It is fantastic. It's about that same time period, 1920s, 1930s, about the Dust Bowl. Jared knows because he read it. But my goodness, I absolutely love it. There is no true crime element to it, but there are communists and union workers and people starting up strikes and stuff in the U.S. It's very exciting. But if you're looking for a good historical fiction read, I highly recommend this book.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And like you said, kind of right from the beginning, it even though it's a long book, I feel like she did not waste like any space in there at all. Like it's really tight in terms of editing and like telling its story. Mm-hmm. So, and then when last year I read her book, The Great Alone, which is about a woman yes. that lives in Alaska. And that was also like one of my favorites of the year prior. So
that's so funny. So that's what I put. If I, well, I'm not even going to get into why. I just put, if I meet a goal, there's a goal I have for this month. And if I meet the goal, I am buying the book, The Great Alone. I already put that. It's paperback. It's like $10 at Target. So that's going to be my reward.
There you go. Yeah. So, okay. Time now to talk about Don't Look Up on Netflix. This was released December 10th in certain theaters across the country. I don't know what the Oscars rules are, if they've changed them due to COVID. I think they did a little bit, but there was this rule that you had to have your movie play in certain theaters in like LA and New York for a certain period of time so that it could be eligible for Academy Awards. Now, that would they may have changed that since COVID started. I'm not 100% sure, but some of these streaming movies will sometimes come out in theaters for a few weeks to fulfill that requirement, and they're not really trying to make much box office. They're really just doing it so that they can make sure they get Oscar nominations if Netflix thinks that it can get Oscar nominations with something. So December 10th was the release date for Limited. December 24th it was streaming on Netflix. What a great Christmas Eve movie. You know, just a really upbeat Christmas Eve story. So
I didn't know if you were kidding at first, and I was like, I don't know. But Christmas is over, so I guess it's not bad to say that now.
It's rated R for language, graphic nudity, drug content, and some sexual content. Also, we will say before we really start talking about it, we're not a political podcast, but this movie has some political things in it. It's definitely trying to have a commentary on like global warming. I even think it has a little bit of a commentary on coronavirus as well. So while we don't intend to talk about politics, we may have to for a little bit for this particular movie, just yes. due to the nature of the movie. So it's 2 hours and 18 minutes. IMDb is a 7.3 out of 10. And then Rotten Tomatoes is 55% critics, 78% audience. So interesting, the audience is liking this movie more. This is definitely more of a critics movie than an audience movie.
So I will say that because of the way I felt, I was happy that the critics felt the way I did. But I was also surprised to see that the audience liked it so much. But I talked to quite a few people at work about this movie today. And because it's been super popular with people, especially because it's on Netflix, I think. But a lot of people either, it was very polarizing, I will say, at work. Mm-hmm. There were people that were like me that were like, this was hot garbage. And then there were people that were like, no, it was hilarious. It's dark and it's twisted. So it was interesting. It was like I went to work today with the critics and the audience.
If you don't know, first, the box office has made $782,000 worldwide. Again, it's streaming. Netflix isn't trying to make a ton of money at the box office with this. If you don't know the synopsis, two low-level astronomers must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that will destroy planet Earth. The astronomers are played by Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. And there's a lot of other people in this movie, too, which we'll get to in a minute. First, we have some critics reviews. First, James Berardinelli of Real Views. He's always first whenever he reviews a movie. And he said about this one, despite a to-die-for cast and a seemingly can't-miss premise, Don't Look Up is a failure on too many levels. And although the viewing numbers may satisfy Netflix, it's a shock to see such a high-profile film self-destruct.
Jared, I love when you do a dramatic reading of a critic. It's my favorite thing.
Next up, we have, I don't want to butcher their name.
Oh, yeah. So, Manola Dargis, we think.
Manola Dargis of the New York Times.
Yes, female. Mm-hmm.
And she says, in the end, McKay isn't doing much more in this movie than yelling at us, but then we do deserve it.
Yeah, she is correct. I think that she's correct on a lot of levels there.
And finally, we have Tim Cogshale of Film Week and also KPCC NPR in Los Angeles. And he says, as much as I have the same political inclinations as Adam McKay and these liberal movie stars, I don't think I want to watch a movie that is presenting me with all of my personal points of view and poking fun at everyone else.
This man took everything in my brain while I watched this film and just put it in a quote.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, we'll talk about it more in the likes and dislikes, but it's definitely made for a certain group of people that like lean a certain political way, but it's also not very like respective of other views that people may have as well. It's definitely like, yeah, leaning one way for sure. So it's directed by Adam McKay. If you don't know, he's done a lot of stuff with Will Ferrell. I think they had a falling out recently is what I read.
What? So Do tell, because I was doing this research today and I was like, oh, they're best friends. Woo.
I don't think they're best friends anymore.
Oh, no. What happened?
So they had like...
This is so exciting. This is like hot goss on the podcast.
So basically, Adam McKay is doing the series about the Lakers that's supposed to come out sometime this year. I think it's called Showtime or Winning Time. But anyway, there was some kind of disagreement with that. And Will Ferrell wanted certain people in the cast and Adam McKay wanted certain people in the cast. And because of that, their friendship basically just ended. So if you Google Adam McKay, Will Ferrell split, you will see numerous articles.
It says so. Adam McKay details Will Ferrell breakup over HBO's Lakers. That's on Deadline.com. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I care about this, but.
They had a falling out recently. So who knows? They may get back together.
Wow.
But they've done a lot of projects together, including Anchorman, Talladega Nights, and the other guys. They co-wrote all of those. And they have the production company, Gary Sanchez Productions, which produces a lot of stuff. They help produce Succession, and they help produce a lot of other television shows as well. And that's their production company. And Adam McKay is also known for directing The Big Short and for Vice. And in 2016, he won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Big Short. And then next up, he will direct Bad Blood, about Elizabeth Holmes and the company Theranos, which I don't really know a ton about that story.
Oh,
it's been in
Jared.
The news a ton. I guess I need to catch up on this.
Jared, there is a podcast you must listen to. Well, now I have to find it for you. But my God, it was one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to. And it was just a limited thing about this. Man, I just...
Let me see if I can find it.
I can see, in my head, I can see the like logo.
Is it called... The Dropout?
Yes.
Okay.
Fantastic. There's also been an HBO documentary, I think, about it. There was also a book written called Bad Blood by John Carreyrou.
And I think
I have
that's
no
what
idea
this movie
why
is
that.
Based on.
Yes.
So
I don't know, but I don't know why that was memorized in my head. But anyway, the trial just ended and Elizabeth Holmes was convicted on 4 counts, I believe. And I don't know what's going to happen to her. They haven't sentenced her yet, but she was found guilty, as she should. I mean... I feel like by the end of that podcast, you're just enraged by what she tried to do. Anyway, oh my gosh, Jared, there was another celeb death today. This is hardly a celeb.
Okay.
It shouldn't be a celeb. Robert Durst, are you, just because we're talking about evil people in documentaries.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
That was the HBO documentary, The Jinx, where he confessed to murder and they found him guilty. And of course, like all horrible people, he was found guilty and then promptly died. So he died today. horrible man, but
yes, yeah, he was not a good guy at all.
No,
so.
He definitely wasn't. I was about to say rest in peace out of like, you know, that's what
respect?
People say, but no,
yeah.
But no, yeah. Absolutely not. I'll stop there. But I did want to tell you, I looked up, there's a quote from Adam McKay circling back to the movie, but you were talking about, Adam McKay and Will Ferrell breaking up, their friendship. This is a quote from Deadline.com. This is McKay. He says this. Ferrell took it as a way deeper hurt than I ever imagined, and I tried to reach out to him, and I reminded him of some slights that were thrown my way that were never apologized for, said McKay. The whole time, it was like I was saying it loud. Let's not become an episode of Behind the Music. Don't let it happen. And it happened.
Wow.
Whoa. So. We need some sap for that burn, Jared.
I know. And Adam McKay has done a bunch of interviews and stuff about it. Will Ferrell has been basically radio silent on it. So,
oh my gosh. I didn't know grown men did stuff like this. It's very exciting. Well, yeah, I did.
And like business partners, I guess, too. Yeah. But crazy that they like, you know, it's weird that they had such a long friendship and they broke up.
Yeah.
This friendship over such a simple little thing. You almost think that it was like brewing for a while.
Yeah. And it's weird that it's two grown men who are funny. Like they kind of like, they can do dark comedy and slapstick stuff and just kind of let a lot of things roll off their back. It's very weird that these two in particular were like, that's it. Friendship terminated. But
yes.
I wasn't there. So I don't know.
Me neither. So we'll take a break here on the Silver Screen Podcast. We'll come back, talk about our likes and dislikes and the insane cast for Don't Look Up. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Don't Look Up on Netflix. This movie has a really large cast. We're not going to focus on every single person in this movie. You know probably a lot of them, if not all of them. The first one of those is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Thank you. You'll notice there's no crush alert. That is because Leo only dates 24-year-olds, and I am personally against those choices.
24-year-olds? More like 19-year-olds.
He's dating a 24-year-old right now, okay. But he's almost 50. So I think that's inappropriate on the highest level, but that's fine. Do you, Leo. So I will fly through this because everybody knows everybody. Leonardo DiCaprio plays Dr. Randall Mendy. He is best known for just about everything, including Inception, Titanic, The Revenant, Catch Me If You Can, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, The Aviator, Wolf of Wall Street, The Departed, The Gangs of New York, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and The Great Gatsby. He's been nominated for 7 Academy Awards, and in 2016, he finally won Best Actor for the movie The Revenant. Next up, you can see him in Killers of the Flower Moon and the miniseries The Devil in the White City. So if you are like me and you love books.
Is that ever coming out?
So it says it is. Okay. I double checked. I feel like Jared and I have been talking about this since the inception of the podcast. See what I did there? And if you're like me and you love reading and you love true crime, you definitely will know Killers of the Flower Moon and The Devil in the White City. And I am very excited for both. Also, I love Leo as an actor. I just, as a person, I'm really like real sketched out by his choices.
Yeah, a little bit. And then his Twitter is, I don't even follow him on Twitter because it's like everything
either.
Is just about climate change, which is
yeah,
important.
Which, yes, yeah. I was going to say the one thing I respect is how much he cares about the environment and actually talks the talk and walks the walk. But I'm also stop dating 24-year-olds because if the planet keeps going the way it's going to go, your girlfriends are not going to make it. Because they're toddlers and I'm sorry, maybe I'm taking it too far. Was that too far?
I don't know. I'm going to send you a picture of
are we recording?
I found of him and his girlfriend on the beach the other day.
Oh, I saw one. I saw that.
Did you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I get alerts.
Okay.
I definitely
such a
saw
weird
it.
Picture.
And also, I just looked at him and I'm like, Leo, your face is beautiful, but he's also a smoker, a longtime smoker.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like he's one of the people you can actually tell that, which is not a compliment. And this 24-year-old's beautiful, but she's 24, Jared.
24.
She's okay. Almost 10 years younger than me. Almost. Sorry. He definitely wouldn't. He wouldn't even consider me. Thank you for the picture, Jared.
No problem. She just has such a weird facial expression. She's like,
I feel like
she's like posing for the camera, and he's like, let's avoid the camera. Like, let's act like we've been here before. And she's like, no, the paparazzi.
I'm really sorry, too. I feel like this episode, we're not trying to go off the rails, but I feel like this episode is more about how we feel about people in the industry right now, like Golden Globes,
yeah.
Will Ferrell, Leonardo DiCaprio. That's
Adam
what's
McKay.
Going on.
Let's talk about J-Law, who
has
not been in a movie in a while.
She has not. And she is currently expecting a baby. So I do hope for a healthy, happy baby for her. She plays in this movie Kate DiBiase. She is best known for The Hunger Games, American Hustle, Silver Linings Playbook, and X-Men First Class. She has been nominated for 4 Oscars. And in 2013, she won Best Actress for Silver Linings Playbook. Next up, you can see her in Red, White, and Water and Bad Blood, which we mentioned earlier, that will be directed by Adam McKay. And then this movie is also starring, I'm just going to say all these names. I cannot talk about these people because I love them and it would take too long. Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett, Timothy Chalamet, Jonah Hill, Mark Rylance, Rob Morgan, Tyler Perry, Ariana Grande, Kid Cudi, Ron Perlman, Himesh Patel, and Melanie Lynskey.
So many people in this movie. Like so
all many. All-star cast.
Also, if you were wondering what the Jennifer Lawrence movie Red, White, and Water is about, it is about a U.S. soldier that suffers a traumatic brain injury while fighting in Afghanistan and struggles to adjust to life back home. Could be really good. It could really suck, honestly. Yeah. there's no in between there. Brian Tyree Henry is in it as well, he's pretty cool. So, but I don't know about that one. Okay, let's talk about Don't Look Up. For the likes. This is an all-star cast. Like they've assembled one of the biggest casts that I've seen in a movie in quite some time, honestly. In this
particular
film.
I feel like the budget for the actors was probably $8 trillion.
Yeah, I don't know how much each of them made on this movie, but there's a ton of people in this movie. A ton of people. So, And the cast is pretty good, you know? I feel like that's one hard thing when you have this big of a cast is to work them all in and to kind of get them all their moments. And obviously, Leo and J-Law are the leads. But I thought Adam McKay did a pretty good job of, like, working all the other characters in where they had enough screen time to actually, like, do something with their character. And it wasn't just, like, a cameo. Now, some are kind of just little quick cameos, but some of the supporting characters, they actually had, like, enough screen time to do something with. So
that's a fair point. I really like that you say that, because I thought, for example, Timothy Chalamet, which I was just waiting for like an hour and a half for him. when he showed up, I thought that one scene was going to be it. And I was like, well, that was a lot of, you know,
just playing his character from Lady Bird just 5 years later or whatever.
And also I was sad because I was like, no, I want more Timmy. That's the reason I'm living through this movie. So I was glad they brought him back. So, but in the interest of time, I have more to say about the other things, but I agree with you. I thought the cast was fantastic and it was really impressive how involved all of their storylines were.
Another like was that I really liked in the cast, speaking of the cast, I thought Tyler Perry did a really good job in this movie. I just, you know, I thought of the supporting cast in this movie, he was probably my favorite, either him or Jonah Hill. I thought Jonah Hill was pretty
funny. Jonah Hill was mine.
In his moments as well. But those two of the supporting cast were probably my favorite two that stood out. And I think Tyler Perry just worked really well in this movie as a role of like a TV guy that hosts this morning show that like they try to act like they care about serious stuff, but they really don't at all. So
I was trying to assign who all these people were, which I won't say who we know Jonah Hill was, but I hate the character. Like I wanted to punch him in the face. But I loved Jonah Hill as that portrayal. But I think that Tyler Perry, do you think that was supposed to be Michael Strahan?
Yeah, either that or like Live with Ryan and Kelly.
Or Ryan. Yeah, Ryan like, Seacrest was the other.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
I was like, well, it's got to be two dudes. It's got to be someone that's like likable, good looking, and a morning talk show guy.
I thought it was definitely somebody like that. Yeah. So another like for this movie is that it's kind of a cautionary tale of what can happen if, you know, you have people coming to you and you're just not believing anything that they say. And it's a good depiction of what America kind of is right now with coronavirus and with climate change and all of this stuff happening that, you know, especially I thought of it. I mean, it's obviously a climate change movie. And I know that Adam McKay didn't intend for it to be a movie about coronavirus, but I saw a lot of similarities between the two, you know, where it's like Leo and J-Law are coming to the president saying, hey, this is comet is going to hit Earth with 99% certainty. And it's kind of reminds me of coronavirus when probably medical experts and doctors were going to the president and his staff saying, hey, this is going to be really serious. And they kind of just, you know, brushed it off, if you will, for the first couple of months. And that's kind of what happens in this movie, too, is they're like, this comet's going to hit 99% certainty. And they're like, oh, we'll worry about it in a few months. So, like, we got to get through the midterms.
Right. I totally agree with you, Jared. I was going to say it is a cautionary tale and I have another comment, but it's definitely my dislike, so I won't go there yet. But I do like that they're pointing out what can happen if you don't have good advisors or if you don't have a good staff in the White House or other positions of power, if we don't employ good scientists, if we don't educate good scientists, like all of these things, there's a trickle-down effect. And we need to look out for that. So I thought that they did a really good job of showing like this could happen. So be careful.
I also thought this movie was one of my likes was I thought this was pretty funny in certain spots, not through the whole way through. But I thought the Jonah Hill character was pretty funny. I thought the bit with Ariana Grande where she's taking
that was cute.
Kid Cudi was kind of funny. I thought the whole running joke of like Leo is attractive and they just realized that like as time goes on was kind of funny. Like, yeah, obviously, like we all know that.
We already talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought those were kind of funny things throughout the movie. There were some things that I didn't like, though, some characters I didn't like, but I thought the script was pretty okay and there was jokes throughout. But another thing I wanted to mention just before we get to dislikes is like, what do you think of Adam McKay's directing style? Because it's very much like The Big Short is very much like bam, 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 here's this and this and this. And it's like almost like ADHD, the movie kind of where it's like so much stuff is happening at once and it's throwing so much stuff at you. And that's kind of how this movie is a little bit. I thought this one did it more than Vice, which is the movie about Dick Cheney. But his directing style, some people love it. Some people hate it in terms of like how it's just going so fast.
So I actually have something about that in my dislikes.
Okay.
In this particular movie, I did not like the style. Okay. In The Big Short, I loved the style. And in Vice, I actually really liked how he did that too. So this was the first one I remember being like, ooh, I don't like this.
Okay.
So I thought, I do think that's a good call out though, because he definitely is, he's very much like Tarantino and other people that we know, Martin Scorsese, people who have a very specific way that they do things that you know it's their film, even if you never see that up front. And then I had another, I was just going to say as another like of mine, besides it being a cautionary tale, this will sound political, but I think this is a very, actually without politics, I think this is a very fair depiction of what America is like right now. Because there are people that are just like I even think of Meryl Streep was the president and people are telling her like, you can't smoke. That's not good for poll numbers. And that's not good for this, that, and the other. And to me, I just think that is so upsetting to me that we worry about stuff like what somebody looks like and if they're smoking, which I even mentioned that about Leonardo DiCaprio. But I would rather someone be upfront about who they are than give a fake image where they're like, well, this showed well in the polls. That's not a person I want running the country. I would rather have someone who's honest and ethical and fair. So that was irritating to me. But what was scary to me was that this reminds me so much of a lot of things we've seen in the last few years within the White House and outside of the White House. I'm just saying everything is polarized right now and everything is a political issue. And everything we have to say is, you know, I don't want to be political about this, but...
Yes. So I also thought it was interesting, like the part where they're talking to the president, played by Meryl Streep, and they say, you know, hey, this is 100% certainty. And she's like, well, we can't say 100%. So let's just say like 70%. Like,
right.
Let's just, you know, that kind of, that was something that stuck with me too. It's like, that's kind of how things have gone recently as well with certain things too. So,
yes.
Let's move on to our dislikes now, because you have a decent amount of them for this particular movie.
Jared, you're dogging on me, buddy.
So sorry. So
no, it's all right.
You're one,
right. I do have
movie,
a lot of dislikes.
This movie is too long. It's 2 hours and like 17 minutes. It has two post-credit scenes. And for
a
comedy,
gosh, I forgot about those.
For a comedy, I just don't think it needs to be 2.5 hours long. Like a good hour 45 or 90 minutes would have worked great for this.
Yeah, I can say this is my quickest dislike. I don't even really know how to justify this. I was so not interested in the film and so irritated that even before when Timothée Chalamet showed up, I was like, thank God, because I was about to turn this off, was how much I was like, I just don't care what's happening. So Timmy saved it once again. He saves all the films. But anyway, it was just too long. And I agree with you, Jared, specifically for comedy. Comedy doesn't usually play well 2+ hours on.
No, that's like Judd Apatow loves to make 2-hour 45-minute comedy
movies.
That. And that's
no
why I don't really
that.
Like him. Yeah,
no one asked for that. If it's a drama about Churchill, okay, give me two
sure.
hours. But
if it's a comedy and the storyline is comet's going to hit Earth, scientists need to inform people about comet. That's
yeah.
literally the storyline.
If Chris
yeah,
Evans is playing Gene Kelly, give me 3 hours. Okay. But if you're just giving me a story about an asteroid that's not really whatever. Anyway.
Another dislike is we both had people we did not like in the cast. You did not like Jennifer Lawrence. I did not like Mark Rylance. So that was
I didn't either.
He was my
wrong
least
with
favorite.
Him?
I don't know. He was trying to do like imitate, I think, Bezos or Zuckerberg or
oh,
somebody
see,
with these
I thought they were yeah,
tech
I
companies.
Do,
yeah.
I agree with you. I was like, I think he was trying to look kind of like Steve Jobs with hair, but act like Bezos.
Yeah.
Or there was definitely some Elon Musk going on in there.
He just didn't work for me.
He was
a
so
weird.
Weird. Well,
yeah.
J-Law, I was just saying that her in a movie bothers me. But
yeah,
I will
like
say
her,
that
so.
I don't, but it's not like I don't want anything bad to happen to her. I just think she to me is one of the number one offenders of playing the same character over and over.
I can see that. Yeah.
I feel like she has a bit that she does, and she even does it on talk shows where she's like, I'm funny if I talk like this and if I say this. And if I mention Louisville, Kentucky, that is, she's like, this is the formula that works. And I am going to play it till people are slapped across the face. And I've been slapped one too many times, Jared, and I just can't do it anymore. But I thought that her character, I was like, I feel like I'm watching Silver Linings Playbook again, except she's a little more medicated like that. I just was like, I've seen this character 12 times. I don't need this. I also just didn't love that character in general. But Mark Rylance, yeah, he won the Creeper Award for the entire show.
I feel like with the J-Law character too, like at least with Leo's character, you get some backstory. You see like his wife and his kids and like how he's a scientist and like everything. And J-Law's character is just like, she's just, you know, a student at Leo's, wherever he works, basically. But you don't learn anything about her character.
No,
it's just like, there's no character development with her.
She also always plays. She always plays someone who's like, oh, I just have like sex with everybody. Oh, I love pot and drugs. Like, I'm a cool girl from Louisville. We get it. We get it. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Is anybody, can the people who listen to this podcast, can please, can just one person tell me you feel the same way I do? Because I can't tell if I'm insane or if I'm valid in my concerns, but I think I'm correct.
Another dislike for this movie.
Jared!
And we just, I can't, we talked about J-Law for 5 minutes,
yeah.
So we gotta move on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You don't like her. I think she's okay. Does she play the same character in every movie? Probably.
It's more than you're just
I would
like,
think so.
Okay. Yeah.
So, another dislike that you had for this movie is this is an Adam McKay thing, because
yes,
it happens in The Big Short as well, and it happens in Vice. He loves to use these quick edits to B-roll
stuff.
Yeah, just random stuff, and he does it in this movie a couple times.
I hate it. I didn't remember it as much with The Big Short, or The Big Short, I guess ones I remember, they all had to do with like Wall Street. Like, it kind of made sense. It would be like you'd see some change falling in a pocket, or you would see some like snooty poot dudes going to a fancy restaurant for lunch that cost $300. But yeah, I just couldn't stand those. I'm sorry. I just... Jared and I can chat each other during the episode, and he just
talking on a microphone. Yeah.
Yeah, this episode is wild. And he's right. I'm sorry.
So much stuff.
No one is drunk. I think we're tired. It's a Monday. It's like 9. So,
yeah.
But also, I mean, like, listen, the world is on fire. This, you know what, Jared? I will say ultimately, because we're leading into this, besides the B-roll stuff I didn't like, the reason I think this episode is crazy is exactly what this film did to me. I feel like this film takes really anxious topics and people who are already anxious about what's going on with the world right now, like me, with all these people dying and COVID killing people and 18 variants and all this other stuff. This movie just served to make anxious people more anxious. Like, it's just here to say, here's all the issues. We're screwed. Isn't that hilarious? And I know some people, there's a guy I work with right now that if he heard this, he'd be like, yeah, definitely, it's hilarious. I don't subscribe to that level of thinking. I think that it's deeply upsetting and it concerns me and it keeps me up at night, makes me want to cry. So that's how the movie made me feel. And I don't think I'm alone in that. But that was probably my main criticism of the film.
I think too, along with that point, is like a lot of people watch movies for escapism from
real
world topics, and this is not going to be that type of movie.
No.
It's very much going to remind you of everything that's going on in the world today. So I totally get that dislike there.
Thank
in
you.
Terms of like, you know, you we enjoy movies and we like, you know, movies based on real life topics sometimes, but we enjoy things that like we can, you know, take our mind off what's going on in the world for a couple hours. So, and this movie does not do that. So another dislike that we have here is that it's poking fun of people who likely won't even watch this movie.
Yes.
So you said, what's the point? And that's a really good point, I think.
Thank
because
you.
This is making fun of a certain group of people. And those type of people probably aren't going to be interested in this movie anyway. So they're probably not going to watch it.
Yeah, that's my last dislike. And I would say it's neck and neck with the last criticism I gave. I feel like this movie, and that's where it's political. Like, I feel like there's a lot in this movie I don't disagree with. I do think so many things across the aisle, both sides, are just bananas right now. It's just a mess. And I don't, it's hard to look up to people and admire people, and the ones I admired have died. I mean, it's a complete disaster. But I feel like, although I agree with a lot of the points that this movie's trying to make, I'm not the audience that needs to see this. I'm not the audience that needs to, like, consider different aspects, or like, well, why aren't we looking into this? Or why are we looking into this? Or why does this matter? Who does this affect? I shouldn't be the target audience, so I don't understand why it was made for someone like me. Because people who disagree with this are not going to take the time to watch this on Netflix. Even if you make it easy to watch on Netflix, they're not going to do that. So I don't get the point of this movie. And ultimately, that made me feel like I wasted 2 hours of my life, over 2 hours. And I'm angry about it.
My final thing before we move on to grades is just that, and this is not my original thought, I saw this online somewhere, but somebody said, and I thought this was a really good point, that Christmas Eve was like the worst possible day to
yes!
release this movie on Netflix.
Someone else mentioned that to me.
And I completely agree with that. I forget where I read that. It might've been Twitter or something, but
yeah.
I think that if this movie had come out in October, November, or like February, March, somewhere around there, it would have been better. But Christmas Eve, people are like, I think it just goes to show you that like Christmas Eve, Netflix is like, here's Don't Look Up, and Disney Plus is like, here's Encanto. Like,
yes!
these are two completely different types of movies. So I think that Christmas Eve was just not a good release date for this.
No, and people are already, they've talked about the number of suicides and things that happen on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's. Like, why would you do this? Why would you be like, here's a movie about how we're doomed, go watch it, see how you do.
So
ridiculous.
Time for our final grades now for this particular movie, our scores. I think it's my turn to go first,
because
I think you went first last week, so I'm gonna give this, I was a little higher on this than Katie. I did think it was funny in spots. I liked the cast. I work in media, so the whole thing of them like going around to media organizations and doing stuff was kind of interesting to me, so I'm gonna give this a 78 out of 100. So
okay. That's funny.
Not my favorite, but I think, I mean, if I gave this like a star on Letterboxd, I think I have this like 4 stars on Letterboxd.
Oh,
so that's kind of
yes.
right around there. So
Jared, I joined Letterboxd.
Letterboxed. Yeah. So yes.
Letterboxd, excuse me. So I'm excited to be on that. I haven't figured out how to like find people or follow people. So Jared's my only friend. But yeah,
once Katie gets it set up, we'll put our like usernames in the description for you. So
oh, that'd be so fun. Mine
we'll
is Katie
Miss
Prime.
Weeks, though. There
it's,
we go.
It's exactly what my Instagram handle and Twitter handle and all that is. But anyway, so yes, I have little to no love for this movie, but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm giving it a 58. Nope, 68. Sorry. How do I keep doing that? Why do I keep doing that? 68, that's higher than Uncut Gems, if anybody is a longtime listener. I just feel like this movie, some of the stuff, though, is me personally not liking the style of the movie and not liking the doomsday element. I don't like dark humor like this. That's not funny to me. I am one of the anxious people that's really concerned about the state of our world and the government and politics and the environment. Like, I think it's all a mess and it's terrifying to me. So this, I didn't find this funny at all. So anyway, yeah, that's where I stand.
There we go. That's our thoughts on Don't Look Up. And you can follow the Silver Screen Podcast on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Just search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook. You can find us there. And be sure to rate and review the show wherever you listen. That really helps us out. We thank you very much for doing that. On our next episode, we're going to be giving you our best and worst movies of 2021. So, we'll do our top 10 best movies of the year. And then we might do, you know, two or three that we just absolutely hated. So yeah, because there were some, I can think of some off the top of my head that are going to make the worst of list for sure. That might almost be easier to assemble than my best of list.
I'm excited to go over that with you.
Yeah, so next episode we'll just be recapping 2021 as a whole as we get ready to go into kind of Oscar season, and that's ramping up. And so we'll go over our best and worst of 2021 next time on the Silver Screen Podcast.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.